Chapter 14. I stuffed myself into my pants, checked that my soul gems were still in my left pocket, and then slipped into my discarded shirt. I fumbled a few times with the buttons, but I finally got them together and in the right order. I had no idea where my shoes were, though I suspected I had kicked them under the bed in my rush to get undressed.
"Are you coming out, you coward?"
Cad's magically enhanced voice cried out.
"Or are you going to hide behind your new wife, the one you stole when you murdered Valeris?"
My irritation grew when I saw that his ridiculous screams had woken Janno and Taslin. Rage boiled in my veins at the audacity the man seemed to have in abundance. First, he crashed my wedding and tried to ruin it, and now he was accusing me of murder where everyone in the world could hear him. My anger threatened to boil over, but I took a deep breath and forced myself to calm down.
"I can't believe he's doing this,"
Janno grumbled as she climbed from the bed.
"Especially after the wedding. You'd think he'd learn his lesson."
"Apparently he's too stupid to figure out no one is going to believe him," I huffed. "I'll go take care of him. You guys try to get some more sleep."
"I'm coming with you,"
my elven-born wife said with a stubborn raise of her chin.
"He's come to our house, and I will not just stay inside while he accuses my husband of murder and cowardice for the whole neighborhood to hear."
She stood, then strolled over to the walk-in closet, and when she emerged a few moments later, she was dressed in a long white robe with pale blue clouds embroidered into the sleeves and hem. As she walked over to me, she pulled her long black hair over her shoulder and began to braid it in a style similar to how Taslin usually wore hers. "You shouldn't have to deal with this," I told her, "especially after his theatrics at the wedding."
"No,"
she huffed.
"No, I should not. And neither should you. Now, let's go stop Cad from telling our neighbors you murdered Valeris."
"I'm coming too,"
Taz said, as she slipped on her long black negligee from the night before. She looked impossibly sexy with the satiny fabric clinging to her breasts and hips, and with her auburn hair down and the flash of anger in her eyes. She looked like an avenging fox from long-ago legends.
"Let's go,"
Janel said after she grabbed Taslin's hand, then mine.
"I'm not leaving until I have satisfaction!"
Cad's voice was louder when we walked out into the hallway. Nora stood with her arms against the railing of the stairs. Her skin raced with flames, and her cold dark eyes were trained on the front of the house like she could see through the thick walls to where Cad was. She looked over to us when we came out of our bedroom. A smile tugged on her lips, but her shoulders were still tight with agitation.
"He really doesn't give up,"
she said, as she sauntered over to us, gave me a long kiss, and then hugged Janno and Taslin.
"I hope your wedding night went well."
"It did,"
Janno blushed.
"Though I could have slept longer."
Yes,
Nora said with a roll of her eyes.
"He could have at least let us sleep past sunrise."
"He's probably drunk," I muttered. I let go of Janel's hand, then trotted down the stairs, the ladies right behind me. Then I yanked open the front door. I squinted in the gray pre-dawn light. The smell of dew washed over me, and misty fog swirled around my bare feet.
"So you actually came out to fight me,"
Cad sneered.
"I thought you were just going to hide in there beyond your women."
The blonde elvenborn was in the same robes he had worn to the wedding, and his hair was disheveled. There were dark purple bags under his eyes, and red ringed his eyes like he had been crying. His rapier hung from his waist, but his hands gripped the gold rails of my gate instead of the hilt of his sword. Otso stood just behind him with a tired expression on his ursine face. The fur on his arms looked as if it had been hastily groomed, and his ears twitched at every sound. He had his giant paws in his pants pockets, though his weapon leaned against his leg just in case he needed it. "Otso," I said as I ignored the elvenborn, "how did he convince you to come here?"
"He needed a second," the bear man said with a one-sided shrug.
"A second?" I asked, then sighed as I realized why they were there. "Didn't you learn your lesson last time, or even at the wedding?" The blonde elvenborn glared at me, his moss-green eyes welled with tears and fury, and he pushed off the gate to put his hands on his hips.
"You murdered my best friend!"
he sobbed in the same magic-enhanced voice.
"His death is yet to be avenged! And if no one else will do it, then I'll have to be the one to make you pay!"
Can you please stop projecting your voice?
Janel asked before a yawn parted her wine-red lips.
If you insist on being here, you could at least respect our neighbors enough not to wake them before the sun has even come over the horizon, especially since most of them are our teachers.
He started to object, but Otso put a beefy paw on his shoulder, then shook his head. With a huff, the Elvenborn waved his hand, and the sapphire pendant around his throat lost its slight glow.
Fine, Cad said, but I demand satisfaction. Through a duel.
You've already lost once, I sighed.
That's because you cheated, he growled. This time I'll be ready for whatever tricks you use.
He looked like he hadn't slept all night, and my anger at being woken up faded to frustrated resignation.
Fine, I said. But if I win, you have to stop with this nonsense about me killing Valeris. And if I win, you confess that you killed him.
The Elvenborn lifted his chin in the air.
And you tell us what you did with his body. He deserves to be buried.
I won't dignify that with a response, I said.
I'll be your second again,
Taz said as she stepped up beside me.
But Otso and I will sit this fight out unless absolutely necessary.
She turned her amber eyes to the tall bear man who stood behind Cad.
I agree to those conditions, Otso said.
Otso!
Cad spun to look at his friend in disbelief.
You have to help me!
I'm only here to make sure you don't die, the Beastborn said. I told you that before we came.
Fine, the snooty Elvenborn huffed. I can beat him all on my own.
He rolled up the sleeves of his robes and took his stance.
Why don't we bring this inside the courtyard?
Janel asked as she walked over to open the gates for them.
So we can at least let the neighbors get back to sleep.
That's a good idea, Cad said with a glance at the nearby mansions. They shouldn't have to suffer too.
I rolled my eyes, then walked over to a clear section of grass to the right, away from the fountain, and across the courtyard from the shed and its mystery supplies. I nodded to Taslin as she walked over to the fountain behind me and sat on the ledge. Then I turned back to Cad as he stalked over to his position.
We will duel until one of us is dead or can't cast, he declared.
The rage in his eyes told me he intended for me to be dead, though I had no intention of killing him if I could avoid it. Fine, I said, before a yawn pulled open my mouth. All I had to do was incapacitate him. If all else failed, I could use the yellow magic from Valeris to make him bend to my will. But I hoped if I was quick enough, I could keep him from casting from his hands. I just wanted it all to be over, since I still had to double-check the black powder for the demonstration for the Iron Dwarves. And if Cad didn't stop his vendetta, he would either expose me or get himself killed by the same family his best friend had belonged to. And the irony of that wasn't lost on me.
Are you ready to duel, coward?
Cad asked as he unsheathed his rapier. Sure, I muttered. He started to cast. The movements were in a familiar pattern, and I realized he intended to hit me with the same lightning strike he had begun with the last time we dueled. He pointed the tip of his sword at me as blue wisps of electricity started to crawl down the metal toward the point of the blade.
He's going to use his lightning,
Taslin warned in my mind through our psychic link.
He really doesn't learn, I responded. I reached deep into the earth, then called up a wall of limestone to block the attack. The beige and green stone erupted from the grass to form a crescent moon barrier between us, and I fought back another tired yawn as I waited for the attack. A crack of lightning tore into the morning air, and I could almost imagine the arc of blue and yellow energy as it collided with my wall. The stream of chaotic electricity crawled up the stone to lick the top of the barrier, but before it could come over and dart toward me, the stone broke into pieces and cascaded to the ground. I raised my hands to defend myself against the lightning, but the spell had run its course and disappeared after it obliterated a few of the falling rocks.
Ha! Cad shouted. Look at you, scared! You know I'm more powerful than you!
No, I said. I'm just not awake yet. Couldn't your ridiculous vendetta have waited until after I broke my fast and had some bean brew?
If Valeris can't eat, you shouldn't be allowed to eat,
the blonde sneered as he raised his rapier again. I needed to incapacitate him fast, since the lightning attack he had used had seemed more powerful than it had during our first duel, and I knew if I didn't stop him, he would kill me. I was more powerful than him,
But in a battle, your opponent only has to get lucky once. And the longer a fight goes on, the more chances of him landing a lucky hit increases. I pulled on the Hawthorn's magic, though instead of a barrier, I pushed the thorny vines toward Cad. And I directed them to wrap around his wrists so they held him tight and he couldn't do any of the movements he needed for another spell. Otso leaned against the handle of his giant hammer, but when the vines bit into his friend's wrist, he stood to his full height. He glanced behind me, then to Cad, before he sighed and sat down in the grass with the weapon draped across his legs.
Aren't you going to help me?
Cad snapped at the bear man as he tried to free himself.
You don't need it, Otso said with a shrug. These are the rules.
Fine,
the elvenborn huffed. He started to wiggle his fingers and turn his hands as he summoned, but before he could complete the spell, I had the vines wrench his hands backward until a sickening snap filled the morning air. The elvenborn let out a guttural scream as his wrists broke, the bones limp as his hands dangled at the ends of his arms.
He broke my wrists!
He screeched as he stared at me with hatred in his eyes.
The duel is over.
The large bear man nodded, then started to stand.
We will leave. Satisfaction has been obtained.
No!
Cad screamed.
I can still cast! I don't need more hands!
I watched in shock as he began to chant, and I was caught off guard when a ball of fire began to form in front of him without the aid of his hands to shape it. I had to think fast when he released it, but I managed to hit it with the Naki's powerful water stream right before it hit me. I could feel the steam singe my face as it wafted over me, and I had to step back to get out of the heated cloud.
See?
The blonde sneered.
I could defeat you even without my hands!
I needed to end the fight, because even though the Elvenborn was injured, he had just thrown a fireball at me, and I could see pain mixed with rage in his eyes. I had hoped I wouldn't have to use Valeris's yellow magic and bend Cad to my will, but if broken wrists wouldn't stop him, I knew he would only stop if I was dead, or I forced him to kneel in front of me. Valeris's yellow magic was easier to tap into than I thought it would be. My indignation that Cad would wake me up so early in the morning after he tried to ruin my wedding fueled the power, and I thought I felt a twinge or irritation from Valeris as the yellow light started to wrap around my arms and flow down into my fingers. With a twitch of my fingers, I released the magic and watched as it snaked across the ground, then slithered up and around the blonde elvenborn. I had to relinquish the hold I had on him with the hawthorn vines, but as the living rope withered and fell to the ground, the yellow binding magic grabbed him and began to pull him toward the earth.
"Just give in, Cad," I said. "Your hands are broken. Just yield so Otso can get you to a healer."
Never!
The elvenborn snarled as he resisted the command to kneel before me, though I could hear the pain and struggle in his wavering voice. He whimpered as he took a step forward and lifted his hand. Beads of sweat dripped down his forehead as he strained against the magic that bound him, and I had to strain with all my willpower to force the yellow magic to do its job and force him to his knees. His mouth twisted as he tried to form words. His teeth were gritted as he fought back against my will. His sense of purpose in avenging his friend gave him extra resolve and extra effort, and together it made him more powerful than he would have been otherwise. He took another staggered step forward. The muscles in his neck were so tight that I could see his pulse, and he could only form a few syllables before a scream ripped through him and into the morning air.
"You have to pay for what you did!"
he screeched, his voice hoarse with the agony coursing through him.
"Valeris has to be avenged!"
Otso stood as Cad stumbled forward, the massive bear man's eyes focused on his friend, and his hammer discarded in the dewy green grass. He started to step forward, his hands reached up to steady the elvenborn, but at the last second he paused and looked over to us with pleading eyes.
"Cad, please, just yield,"
Janel said softly from somewhere behind me, and I could hear the tears that she held back.
"I don't want to kill you, man," I said. "This is pointless. Just give up already and let this go."
The elvenborn's body shook as he forced himself to take another step forward, but as soon as he put his foot down, the leg gave out under the strain of the yellow binding spell.
He hung his head for a moment, then released another scream as he tried to stand back up.
You have to pay for what you did,
Cad grunted.
You have to!
His words were barely audible through his clenched teeth. Blood-colored spit spackled the grass as he coughed, but the stubborn Elvenborn still refused to yield. I could hear feet shuffle behind me, but I couldn't take my eyes off of my opponent and risk that he would do something idiotic if I released him. I thought I heard Nora let out a sob, though I wasn't sure if she was worried about him or remembered what it felt like to be chained in the same way. I hated that he wouldn't yield, and if he didn't give up soon, I was sure the spell would actually kill him. I didn't need another death on my hands, especially not when it was completely unnecessary. Come on, I said, as I watched tears begin to stream down his cheeks. You can't bring Valeris back by fighting me and hurting yourself permanently. I almost released the spell, despite my misgivings, but he was like an animal that would only push himself until he died. I also knew that if I let him out of the binding magic, he might lash out and hurt one of the girls, and that would be worse than his death.
He's right,
Otso said from where he stood frozen, bound by his honor not to get into the fight, and torn by his need to help his friend.
Valeris would not want this.
The bear man had turned his gaze to his companion, but the worry still remained in his hunched shoulders and the way his ears laid flat against his head.
He deserves justice,
the Elvenborn screeched.
No one will do anything to punish his killer, so I will do it. I'll have to do this for him. That way he can rest in peace.
He'll rest in peace if you just serve his memory by gaining honor on the battlefield, I told him. And you know Valeris would be furious that you've wasted so much time stalking me. I'm just a lowly human, remember? I could almost picture the haughty Elvenborn with his nose in the air and a derisive comment on the tip of his tongue about how much of a waste of powers I was. The yellow ribbons of power had his arms in chains. They had bound his legs, and as he continued to resist, they reached up around his neck. The spell tightened until he gasped for breath. The magic yanked him toward the ground to kneel, and it seemed like he would be broken in half if he didn't have his way. Tears began to stream down Cad's face as sobs began to rack his body. They mingled with the sweat that beaded on his cheeks and dripped onto the front of his shirt as his shoulders drooped. With a sigh, I released the spell. Then I walked over to him as the man collapsed onto the grass in a heap of grief and fat tears. I glanced up at Otso as I neared. The bear man stared at me warily but didn't move, and I squatted down next to the sobbing Elvenborn. I awkwardly patted his back as his whole body shuddered with pain and sadness.
I just want to know what happened to him,
Cad cried. Nora walked over to us. Then she bent down as she looked at his hands. Her touch was light, but he still hissed and pulled away when she touched the broken bones.
I think I have something that will help,
she said.
Though I will still have to bind the wounds.
Please, Otso said when Cad couldn't answer through his tears.
I would appreciate that.
Do you need anything from me? I asked as I looked at her. Should I hold him still?
Yes.
The djinn nodded.
This is going to hurt.
She snapped her fingers, and red silk ribbons folded themselves on the ground next to her. Four thin, silver rods the length of his forearm were next to the cloth bindings, and a vial of a green, viscous liquid rested on the top of the ribbons. I held one shoulder while Otso knelt down to hold the other, and together we watched as Nora gently took one of Cad's hands in hers, then bent them back up. I thought I would lose my hearing when the Elvenborn screamed in agony, but soon the beautiful djinn had the rods braced against his arm and the ribbons tied tightly around his forearm and in between his fingers. I was better prepared for the second one, though the ear-piercing scream still hurt.
Drink this,
she told Cad when she was done, then held up the bottle of mystery medicine.
This will help ease the pain.
She tipped the contents into his waiting mouth. Then she wiped the few drops that spilled when a sob interrupted the flow of liquid to his stomach.
Thank you, he mumbled. I just miss him so much. And not knowing what happened is the worst feeling in the world.
As much as Val had deserved to die, I did admire his friend's loyalty,
and couldn't help but respect it. Would I have done any different if someone had killed one of my ladies? But I had a job to do, a mission to stop the Korlems and the Iron Dwarves from declaring war on the River Kingdoms, and I couldn't let this blood feud go on any further.
He would have kicked my ass if he saw me cry and dare in a duel,
the Elvenborn said with a watery laugh.
I think he would have fucked me up more than my opponent for embarrassing him.
That sounds like something he would do, I said with a sigh, then plopped down in the grass next to him.
I think he'd be more angry if he found out I accused you of killing him,
Cad mumbled as he wiped away the last of his tears.
To think a lowly human could defeat and kill him is such an insult. He might have challenged me to a duel. I feel so foolish. There's no way you could have killed him. He was too powerful.
I almost rolled my eyes since I had, in fact, defeated the snotty Elvenborn. But his friend could never know that. Instead, I just nodded my head, though I did press my lips together to keep a sarcastic comment from escaping. Look, I said. I'm really sorry you're hurting.
It's the worst feeling in the world, he confessed. I don't even know if he's dead. He's just gone. And I don't know what to do with myself.
You miss your friend, I said. That's not a crime. But you have to stop taking it out on me because the guy didn't like me. I know he meant a lot to you, but there has to be a better way of dealing with your grief. He nodded his head, sniffled, and then wiped snot onto the sleeve of his robe, though it took effort with the splints on his arms. He was calmer, like all the anger had drained out of him, and I didn't need to worry he would randomly attack me again.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you're right, he sighed.
Good, I said. I'm glad we can finally move past this.
I'll even forgive you for trying to ruin my wedding,
Janel teased as she came up beside me. I smiled up at my bride. Her bright green eyes still shone with hints of worry, but her shoulders were relaxed. I pushed myself to my feet, then took her hand in mine, and my attention shifted to see Taslin a few feet away, though the fox woman looked like she was ready to throw a spell if Cad changed his mind.
I was an ass,
the blonde Elvenborn said. He tried to stand back up, but every time he put pressure on his hands, he winced and collapsed back onto the ground. He glanced back at Otso, then he bobbed his head when the massive Beastborn stretched out his arms as an offer to help him up. He whimpered a little when the bear man slid his hands into his armpits, then hoisted him up. You were, I said. But I get it. Like I said, you just have to stop challenging me to duels. Especially if the sun hasn't even risen yet.
Yeah, he muttered. Okay.
Believe me, I told him. The kingdom will soon need all the battle mages it can get, and you'll need to be in fighting condition. I didn't want to go into detail about what I knew about the Iron Dwarves, but it was true that I would need Cad and all the other battle mages on our side eventually. Once Cad was steady on his feet, Otso let him go. Then he retrieved his battle hammer. The Elvenborn tried to run a hand through his hair, but the temporary binding kept his fingers together and curled into his palm.
You think he's gone forever?
The blonde asked once again. I think some part of him will be with us no matter what, I said, and though he took it sentimentally, I was being quite literal when I thought about my gemstone.
Oh, no, Cad huffed. I'll just... Doesn't matter,
he sighed, then pulled his shoulders back as he looked at me. His demeanor shifted until he was stiff and serious.
I, Cadwallader Clarence Landundo O'Pentregoth, formally wish to apologize to you for my behavior, and I offer my friendship as payment for my slight. If you ever need aid, you may call on me, and I will grant you whatever help I can.
Shock stole the breath from my lungs, and my mouth fell open as I stared at the haughty Elvenborn who had just tried to kill me.
Thank you,
I stuttered, then cleared my throat and nodded my head. I mean, thank you. Sure, we can be friends. I held out my hand, then remembered that he wouldn't be able to shake it, and I dropped it with an apologetic smile.
Good,
Cad said before he cleared his throat.
Well, Otso and I should go. We need to go see a healer.
Yeah, I muttered. I hope they can fix that for you. Next time, maybe you should just yield before it gets that far.
I'll think about it, he huffed,
as he pulled his shoulders back and jutted his chin into the air.
Goodbye,
Otso said with a nod, before he followed Cad toward the gates. I watched as the bear man opened the gate for his friend, and then as he closed it and started to walk down the street in what I was sure was a much slower pace than he was used to. I shook my head when they were out of sight, and I turned back to the women with me. The previously perfect grass now had mounds of dirt and scorch marks to show there had been a battle. The greenery seemed to welcome the decaying hawthorn vines, and I wondered how long it would be before the grass was back to the way it had been.
I can't believe he just apologized,
Janel whispered in awe.
I mean, he should. But I never thought I'd see the day he would apologize to a human.
Thanks, I grumbled.
Oh!
She huffed with a small smile.
You know what I mean. That would be like Valeris saying sorry himself.
That never would have happened, I laughed.
I think I'm more surprised he offered you friendship,
Taslin said as she walked up to join us, and I noticed that her negligee moved with every step, and the chill of the morning had hardened her nipples.
Shouldn't he do both of those things?
Nora asked with a look of confusion.
Elvenborns don't usually apologize, I explained. It means they owe a debt, and someone like Cad would not want to owe anything to a human. Friendship is out of the question.
Then we should celebrate,
the djinn said with an excited clap of her hands.
We should go wake up Ilara and have a feast to break our fasts.
I glanced to the balcony where Ilara's room was located. It was at the far end of the house, but I was shocked that the mouse girl had managed to sleep through the commotion. I thought she'd be a light sleeper, given her more dubious connections, and the fact that she might be attacked while she was asleep. Though, I was aware that not many people knew where she actually lived.
That sounds like a great idea, I said. Why don't you all go find the dining room while I go wake up our sleeping mouse?
Perfect,
Janel said as she looped an arm through Taslin's.
And when we're done, I'm going to take a very long bath.
I could clean you now if you would like,
Nora offered.
Oh,
my wife smiled brightly.
That's very sweet of you, but I think I want to soak in a large tub of hot water.
I think I'll find my rooms,
Taz said.
Then I'll go retrieve all of my books.
Do you want me to help? I asked, even though I still had no idea where my fox girlfriend actually lived.
You should go check the black powder after your bath,
the sexy redhead responded.
Our meeting with the Iron Dwarves is in a few days.
Once I check it, I'll call the Minotaurs and have them transport it, I said. I'd rather not leave it for too long in an empty laboratory, even with our wards.
Then we all have a plan for the day,
Nora said as we started to walk back into the mansion we now called home.
I'm going to finish some touches on my wing.
Where is your wing?
My elven-born wife asked.
I would love to see it. I mean, if you don't mind.
I would be honored,
the djinn replied.
It is in the linen closet in the hallway.
That's the perfect place,
Janel smiled. I let the women lead me into the house, then I climbed the stairs as I went to wake my sleeping mouse girlfriend. I was hungry after the duel and eager to get back to the laboratory to check all of the wards, but I wanted to break my fast at our new house with all of the beautiful women in my life. I knew the meeting with the Korlems and the Iron Dwarves was only a few days away, and everything needed to be perfect, so I wouldn't have too much time to just relax. I also wasn't sure if the duo from earlier would actually leave me alone. Cad may have declared himself my ally, but I still didn't really know how far I could trust him.